Blog Talk Radio.
A God that does deliver. For being a God that doesn't look at me as who I am, because you have. Bless each and every giver, Lord, that you would touch, God, in a mighty way. But we know that you are God. And we thank you, Father, for everything, Lord, that you have made it possible in our lives to be. Lord, I ask that you would give it back to each and every giver as according to your word. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God.
Amen.
But as we're giving, we're going to take this time also to say, if you want your church to be a better place, you need to try real love. So while you're doing that, get out of your seats and go to somebody and give them a great big hug. Two or three people, while you're releasing your tithes and offering, and then just hug them and greet them all over the place.
If you want your church to be a better place to worship, if you want your church to be a better place to worship, if you want your
one of the finalized school counselors who happened to be one of the counselors of at least two or three of the young people in our choir, Sister Hillary and Sister Demetriana, I don't know if it's anybody else, but also a colleague of Sister Monica as well. And,
yeah.
35 years old, you know, and I have children at that age, you know. I think my oldest son was 36, 37, you know, and I can't imagine what that family's going through right now.
Yeah.
Or the people, or his children.
Why did
you say something? Please, go ahead.
Come
on. Come on, baby.
I
We're just pilgrims passing through here.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. On our way to see Jesus.
Yes.
Come on, I'm just a pilgrim.
Yes.
Passing through. On my way to heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Stop me.
and give God some praise. Well, look at somebody say it's time for the word.
It's time for the word.
Amen. We're so thankful today to have three qualified individuals to come with the word on today.
Yes.
And God is just so good. Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen. At this time, we're going to. Amen. Brother Minister Doug Murray is a chaplain.
Amen.
He's a part of the National Association of Chaplains, so he's a real deal.
Amen.
And so we're thankful for him as he comes a long way in 10 minutes.
Well, first of all, I got to apologize before I started. Well, 30 seconds before our service began, I realized I'm going to be coming up here.
That's
how it works.
Yeah, you better
learn
real fast.
Yeah.
I'm going to
burn the light.
Amen.
I got the
memo
2 hours ago.
And I'm not used to talking to a microphone. The spiritual disciplines, there's about 12, 13, depending upon, which theologian you work at. There's meditation, study, prayer, discipline of confession, chastity and fasting, discipline of worship,
all right,
discipline of guidance,
yes,
discipline of counsel. I mean, there's many. But today I'm only going to cover about the first four or five because my time.
That's all right.
Yeah. Meditation is very, very important.
Yes.
And that is really how do we prepare ourselves to do prayer. For me, when I do a lot of my work and all that, I can't do any work at home. I really can't. Five teenagers, that's two girls, and,
Yeah.
But, on top of it, there's always distractions with telephone calls, people calling. But I like to go over to the retail store. Sit there at the table by myself and, saw the drones and do my highlighting and stuff. And that's what I like to prepare myself. It also gets me to think about how I'm going to pray. And this is one thing that I struggle with throughout my 50 years on this earth. How do I pray? Because it can be confusing all that for me. But prayer is important. God knows what we need.
Yes.
He knows everything. He knows everything about us in our hearts, how we feel.
Yes.
But what he wants to us, he wants us to honor him.
Yes.
He wants us to think about him all times, not just when bad things happen, is because when good things happen to everybody and all that, we're the most perfect Christians in our lives.
Yeah.
But when things go wrong, we need to talk to them. But the next discipline is going to be discipline of confession. That is, to me, that's most important. I love all the disciplines. I really love this one. But it's really important to me is because of how I teach. I work with a lot of alcoholics at the hospital, heroin addicts and stuff like that, so I got to get them thinking. Discipline of confession is, what's confession? It's about repenting of our sins. You've got to repent to God. Always repent for everything we do. But it's also about forgiving somebody else, and it's also about forgiveness.
All
right. I remember when I got divorced and stuff, one of the hardest things is to forgive my ex-wife, It was. It truly was. But as my daughter tell you, we are very, very good friends today.
All
right, we meet together at the same table. Sometimes I'll drop her off, and they're watching a show on in the living room. I sit down in the couch and watch TV with them. But it's about forgiving other people.
Yes.
Amen.
We have to forgive other people because Christ came and died for our sins. And if we don't forgive other people, how is our sins going to be forgiven?
Yes. Amen.
It's very hard.
Yes.
And, and I lived that way for a lot of years, even in my own life, holding grudges against people. God does not want us to hold grudges. Jesus did not hold a grudge against Peter when he denied him three times.
Come on
now. Or with the two thieves that were on the cross that were knocking him before he died.
Come on now.
Watch
out.
But But the disciplines are very important because it lets us understand things. It keeps things in perspective is that it's how we live our lives, how we become more holy. It's a sanctification process.
Yes. Come on.
It's not something that can be done overnight.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yes. Talk about the process.
You know, it's difficult. Studies. This one of studies is very important to me.
Yeah.
Reading and reading and reading. I got so many books. It's incredible. When sometimes you guys gotta come over. But I got lots of books, but my daughter tell you, I'm reading and reading and reading until my eyes hurt. And but it's also brought me closer to God.
Yes,
helped me understand
yes,
God's word.
Yes.
And that's what's important for us.
Yeah,
man. You know, the next part of this I'm gonna go into a little bit about spiritual warfare. Flesh, Satan, and the world.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and see the fires, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you.
That's right.
What I find is very, very important about this is that, has anybody in their life ever felt like they were overwhelmed?
Well, come on.
Yes.
You know, it's a very horrible feeling because we feel like we're all alone.
Yes.
You know. You know, and there's times I like to go hiking all the time up in the woods and stuff like that. You ever see a river? It looks really, really gentle. So you start walking, when you see the undercurrent is so powerful, it can take you away. That's other problems. Well, what I thought was very significant about this reading is when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. One thing about fire, as we've seen in the Old Testament, like with Isaiah and stuff like that, fire is a purification.
Yeah.
So it purifies us.
Yeah.
Right? And then we've seen burn victims in hospitals, and we've seen this stuff on TV. Is they have to induce comas on some of these patients because the burns that they're suffering are so painful, you know. But at the same time, God is telling us He's with us. And no matter what we do, we're never going to be able to avoid problems.
Right, come on.
That fire that's going to get us. But one thing He does expect of us, and Christ expects of us, is that we need to be faithful, no matter what fire we go through, what problem we are. But we can't ever forget, God is always with us. All
yes.
we have to do is ask.
Yes.
You know, spiritual warfare is kind of one of my favorite topics, is because the flesh, we all of us in our flesh have our own desires. Go to the store, I see this lemon meringue pie.
Oh, nice.
Things we covet, things like that.
All right.
Things that I want.
Yes, yes, amen.
You know, and sometimes we'll walk you to where they got all the liquor area, the liquor store, and they have all this food.
Okay.
And all these
right.
bottles are so beautiful, and it's very tempting.
Yes, come on now. Yes.
But the world, can really distract us and tempt us. There's so many things in the world. The world, if you look at the TV, it always tells us how we should act, how we should be, how we should look. They tell us that if we don't have the right lipstick on, the right hairstyle, the right hair color, if you don't do that mascara that makes us look younger.
And if
you don't buy this F-150 truck, how do you get on top of that big mountain? I don't know how to do it. But you're not going to live a living picture.
Come on now.
Our friends at, you know, like my daughter at school, there's a lot of friends distract us.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we see Satan. Satan is always watching. He's always creeping into all of our lives.
Yes.
Even after Jesus was tempted in the desert, even after 40 days of fasting, and he's in the wilderness, Satan went 1, 2, 3 with temptation. And that's, he did that to try to break his will down.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, at any day, at any time in our lives, things are going to happen to us. bad things. And that's what the discipline of church worship is, staying with us, staying with each other at church. You know? And the Satan likes us to use drugs and alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
And I got some incredible stories sometimes that anybody wanted to listen to. But what alcohol and drugs does, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, how do we prepare ourselves for fighting Satan? How do we fight Satan? Practice
with the word of God.
Yes, word of God. Discipline of study, discipline of prayer, discipline of meditation, practicing all these disciplines. And understanding what is coming at us.
Amen.
Remember one of what Ephesians 6? Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
Come on now.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers,
watch
against
out now.
The authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present God, darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil in the day, and have done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all the circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and lift the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, and in all prayer and supplication. Please be vigilant, and please pray all the time. Pray what day, all day, when you're at home and school and at work.
Amen.
We should have had 3 minutes or 11 seconds.
I was timing. No, it was right at 10.
Yeah. I wanted to whip me or something when I'm done. You know,
you got obedience discipline down.
All right.
Okay, wait, you just got here. I don't do that.
Still on the other
one. I think before and sister, I'm going to ask you to come up and give a song, and then Sister Billy should give a message for a song after. Okay.
Amen.
Question
Amen.
For you. Does anybody have a question about spiritual disciplines? Anybody have any one question about spiritual disciplines? What is spiritual discipline? See, I'm testing you. What is one of the... But what is one of the spiritual disciplines? Anybody know one of the spiritual disciplines you mentioned?
Yes.
Faith. Amen. And are you an apostle, prophet, bishop, doctor? God bless you. Who, young man, thank you for coming in and visiting. Who did you come here today? That's off of Prairie Road, right? Yes, I haven't talked to him in a while. But amen. Well, God bless. Thank you so much for coming. Are you singing? Well, God bless. So glad that you came to be with us this morning. Sister Chandra, would you please come? Oh, okay. So Sister Arletta invited him from the bank. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Amen.
All right. if God is dead, what makes the flowers bloom?
Yes. Amen.
If God is dead, who means an answer prayer?
Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you handed down, and many such things you do. We have a lot of things that are our traditions. It's the way we do it, and it doesn't matter what your hue is or where you come from. There are always traditions. And sometimes they become your word instead of the word, and we need to just keep in mind that when we become saved, we have to renew our mind to the word.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that goes against our tradition. I'm going to continue in verse 14. When he had called all to the multitude, all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside that can defile him. But the things which come out of him are those things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear."
Amen.
When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all food." Don't tell me what I can cook and don't cook. And he said, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye." The eye have it.
Yes.
He continues with blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. In Matthew 12:23-25, he says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed and blind and mute. And he healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" And we talked about, or earlier I mentioned our traditions. We also put titles on people, and we put expectations on people. And we don't allow each other to grow. We need to do two things. First thing is allow yourself to grow.
Amen.
You can't be who you were and who you've become at the same time. You
know?
You said, "I can't be who I was and who I've become." So if you're looking for who I was,
Amen.
Now the Pharisees said, "This fellow doesn't cast demons out except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every house divided against itself cannot stand." So here's an example. There's only one Kevin, me. There's only one. I'm not a separate spiritual, financial, married, and I'm not separate from my family. When you separate your life into compartments, it won't stand. And in the same way, when you give what you have, what belongs to who you are, you can't stand where you live. So the physical eyes are the door to the soul, and we are spirit. We live in a body, and we have a soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Have you ever wondered how we can be so wise about what other people do and other people's lives, but such a fool about our own?
Watch out now.
It comes from working from where we live and what we have instead of who we are. Another way of saying this is we use different eyes. We use our eyes to focus on the solution with other people's problems, but we use our eye to focus on the problem of our own life. The Lord says, fear not, and we say, but you don't understand, and I this, and I that. But in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, it says, judge not that you... It's so hard to have people... They can read this without this. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Amen.
So judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye?
Well,
do not consider the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the plank or the speck from your brother's eye.
Living. And then other people say things that are true,
But Jesus is asking each one of us, who do you say that I am? What is Jesus really looking for? He is looking for the answer that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who is to be Lord over your life. From the very time that Jesus rose again, there was 500 witnesses, and Bishop last week said, the scripture, some doubted. Here we have the man who is God, but yet man. He dies upon the cross for our sins.
Yes.
And then he rises from the grave. Over 500 witnesses, but some doubted. How can they say then that he is the Christ if they're doubting? To walk in the spiritual disciplines, to walk in the eye, in the realm of minister and training Abernathy, taking the eye out of the way won't happen if he's not Lord of your life. If you are saying that he is not Lord, you're not saying that he is God.
Well, come on.
In the course of time, we come down through the ages. The Islamic world says that Jesus is the second last prophet. Muhammad is the last prophet, and the Muhammad coming is going to be the ruler of the world. Well, they have things a little bit mixed up. Now we have the atheists, and we have differences in the atheists. There are some that say that Jesus never existed. There are some that say that Jesus existed because there is so much historical evidence in the secular world, in Romans writings, Greeks writings, even Joseph Flavius, we would say Josephus, the most famous Jewish historian that lived during the time of Jesus and up until a little after the fall of Jerusalem. He even wrote in his writings, and his writings in the Jewish world for a historian is prized above many other things. Okay? Today we have many things of people saying that Jesus is this, Jesus is that. But who do you really say that Jesus is? If you say that Jesus is Lord over your life, then why are you doing some of the things that you're doing in your life?
Good question.
If Jesus is Lord of your life and he's Savior of your life, where is your walk of love and forgiveness? Where is your walk of holiness? Where is your walk of fearing God? Many misinterpret what fearing God is. It's basically to honor, to reverence, and to respect. If you don't honor, reverence, and respect God, then Jesus can't be Lord of your life. It is impossible for him to be Lord of your life. To be Lord of your life means you're not going to be doing the hokey pokey where you shouldn't be doing the hokey pokey.
What is the hokey pokey?
Where's the hokey pokey?
Hokey pokey, man.
I like.
Oh, you mean fornication?
I'm trying to word things a little different for the smaller children.
That's a good term. You can use fornication. That's a good word.
Yeah, but it's dumb children too.
Hokey pokey.
I like what Sister Tyra likes to say at times. She has a very unique way of saying it. There are other aspects in your life. Why do we go to the clubs and get it down. I look at clubs a little bit different because I grew up in a different area. Today it's called the clubs. We call them the bars back in my day. But it doesn't make any difference.
Amen.
In our own homes, we do things.
Yeah.
Now with satellite, cable, Roku, and all these other fancy technologies, we can get into things that we ought not to be getting into.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
We listen to certain types of music.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would never dare go there because of my past history.
Uh-huh.
I was involved before Jesus in Satanism, witchcraft, and other forms of the occult.
Come on now.
For me to listen to Beyonce is actually turning around and going and practicing the occult.
Uh-huh.
She actually, in her songs, calls upon the demons to actually flow through her as she sings and speaks to you. When she, they don't like to have certain media pictures taken of her because you can see the transformation on her face in the concerts from her normal face to the demonic. So what are you listening to? What are you allowing to influence your life? Is this truly the main influence of your life? If Jesus is Lord, this is where you should be.
Come on now.
This is where spiritual disciplines arrive in. This is where taking the I out of yourself and allowing Jesus to reign through you.
Yes, Lord.
You cannot say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior if you are imposing upon all these things and saying, well, Jesus, I don't have time for you right now. I want to go over here, and I want to do what I want to do.
Come on now.
Yes. And Jesus is saying, come, spend time with me.
Yes.
So that I can teach you many things.
Yes.
So that I can guide you.
Yes.
So that I can take you to escape from the things that are about to come upon you.
Yes.
Because I have the right way, and you can escape those horrors of life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Why is it we always want to do what we want to do? We love the I, the flesh. A while back, I taught a book called Dressed to Kill, written by Pastor Rick Renner, who has the largest church in Moscow and on Red Square. He started that church in the time of communism when it was very, very dangerous. Him and his wife and children almost lost their lives numerous times for what they did. Dressed to Kill was all about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18.
Come on now.
Yes.
Spiritual warfare.
Yes.
We war against the flesh.
Come on.
Yes.
We war against the world and the world system.
Yes,
we war against the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by Satan.
Come on now.
And in our aspect of spiritual warfare, if we don't walk in subjection and submission to Jesus and Him being Lord of all, spiritual warfare is nothing. You cannot win any victory if you don't have Jesus Lord over your life. So who do you say Jesus is in your life? Who do you say He is?
Come on now. Yes.
Is He truly the resurrected man? I like Misty Edwards from the IHOP. IHOP is short for International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yep.
The majority of the Misty Edwards has a beautiful, beautiful song. And I have it, and I've played it here a couple of times already in some of my sermons. And it's on Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel saw Jesus before the cross and then after the cross. The whole thing is we have a man in the Godhead. We have a man in the Godhead who walked among us without sin and showed us the perfect way in which to walk. His life is an example. If we study the four Gospels vigilantly and diligently, we can arrive at seeing what we can truly declare that he is. And we can walk in victory. We can know that he is truly resurrected. That's why I chose the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 earlier. If we don't really believe that he rose again and did all that he said he did and all that the gospel is,
yes,
our total faith is a futility.
Yes, yes, yes.
Our sins are not forgiven. They're not washed away. We are nothing.
Yes.
And where will we end up if we don't live according to that? If we don't stand in faith upon the actual truth of the resurrection, we have nothing.
Yes.
It means that we have nowhere to go but into eternal death in the lake of fire forever and ever. From what I have learned and I've studied through the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, the hell and the lake of fire is where I would not want to go or wish anyone to go there. It is the most horrific thing. We in our finite mind can't even imagine the reality of what is there.
Yeah.
Mr. Weiss, at 3 o'clock in the morning, who was a man who worked in the housing sector of secular work, he was actually woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by Jesus and taken to hell for 23 minutes. He wrote a book. He went on the circuit telling people and talking. He's been on TBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, other places. I have his book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And oh my goodness, those first five chapters in the description, the other five chapters explain from all the different scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, what he did. But Jesus took him there and the description and what actually took place. He said this is only a part of it. The screaming. People are in a little thing like this and they're down and it's all flaming fire and it's just the screaming. Russia dug a hole deep into the ground, deeper than anybody has ever drilled, and they covered it up. Because all they could hear when they got to a certain depth was people screaming. People screaming. And that's the documentation that is out there for history. If you Google and do some search on it, you can find it. But it is there. Running out of time. Who do you say that Jesus is? Examine your heart. Who do you say he is?
Come on in.
Jesus.
Jesus coming in. Jesus coming in. Welcome.
We're supposed to get some pretty good wind this if we don't examine ourselves to see where we are and to see who we really do say that he is, then we must make changes in our lives. We must begin confession and repentance. And repentance means you turn around and go the opposite way and don't ever go back and do those things again.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, 180 degrees, right? Not
360.
Yes. Agreed. So then we must begin to turn our hearts fully. If you see the signs of the times, I got 1 minute left. If you're looking at the signs of the times, look at what's going on economically, socially, politically, and ecologically. We know by the signs of the times that Jesus
his return is extremely near, near, near. It could be any time now because it's so close. It is so close. The challenge to the last 30 seconds is, what will you do with Jesus? Who do you say he is? And what will you do with your life upon that decision? you just come out in the front. And if anybody has need of prayer, they'll just take your hand and pray with you as we get ready to dismiss on the day. You want to say that keep the words with you that were preached today, that were spoken today. Because there's another area that God has prepared for us.
Hallelujah.
There's somebody out there that you know that you need prayer. You know that you need an extra, just another extra push in your spirit.
Hallelujah.
If I were you, I would come up right now and then allow these ministers to pray with you. Come on, thank you.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
name, oh God.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't leave out of here. There's medicine up here. I would not leave out of here. If I were you, but leave coming up here right now and then just letting us say, God bless them. Hallelujah.